Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. And I want to share a basic word here that's maybe a familiar story with you, to you. I'm not sure. But I want to highlight a principle as it relates to that kind of ministry. And here at New Life 2.0, we've been talking about there's a fresh start happening here in a new phase. And I looked back and I preached a message much like this in June of 2009, which is crazy ironic because of what happened with us in 10, 11, and 12. And it really was a call to choose the way of Melchizedek and blessing instead of the way of Sodom and the flesh. And I really believe it was a warning back then. We did okay in it, and we really failed in it. And some of you know some of the stories, but let me lay this out for you here. In Genesis chapter 14, Abraham, who will be later, has helped conquer, I think, three armies with 318 men. He conquers and sets free some kings that are in the area. Remember, Abraham had left his father's land, which was up in Babylon in that area, and he had come into the promised land. And in this area, there were lots of different kings and things, and he began to increase with the blessing of God on him. And it was a powerful deal. And Lot goes down to Sodom and gets in trouble, and there's, you know, a lot more story here. But after Abraham's victory, we pick up in verse 17 of Genesis 14. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. When Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out, watch, bread and wine. And he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, Melchizedek, this king who brought out bread and wine, blessed Abram and said to him, blessed be Abram by God Most High, the God who is the possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. So he says here that the blessing, the anointing, the favor of God is what empowered Abraham in war. He's basically saying God's blessing is what gave you the victory, not your own strength in warfare. And then Abram responds and gives him a tenth of everything. At this point, there's no law about tithing. No one do we see told him to do this, but he sacrificially gives a tenth of everything to this king priest named Melchizedek. Now watch in verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I've made Abram rich. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and share with the men who went with me. And then he mentions some other folks. This passage clearly shows us the choice of a covenant man, which we are covenant people, choosing one system over another. There's two systems represented here, and they're working in the earth, and they're working around your life. There's the system that is the system of the blessing, the favor of God. It's represented by this guy named Melchizedek. We don't know where it says in Hebrews, he didn't come, there's no ancestry, he just comes out of nowhere, and then he disappears. And when he shows up, he brings bread and wine, which clearly is speaking of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. It says in Hebrews that Jesus is of this order. Some people think this is Jesus manifesting himself before he's born. I'm not going to go into that, but either way, it's a type of Christ in a clear way. And this king comes out from Salem, which is Jerusalem, a place of peace. He comes out of this, and here's Abram with his little army of 318, and he blesses him. He feeds them a meal, gives them bread and wine, and then he speaks a blessing over them. Now listen, this is the way Abram started, if you'll remember. When he was called out of his daddy's household, he was from Babylon where they had many gods. They worshipped many gods up there. But he was called to have one God, Yahweh, the true God. And he made that move and began to walk out what we know as monotheism, meaning there's only one true God. He's worshiping him. And Abram begins to really be blessed in his life by the favor of God. not by his own wits, but by the favor of God. Not by his own ingenuity, but by God's blessing on him as he sacrificially obeyed the Lord. That's one system. Then there's another system. It's the system of Sodom. And everybody knows, when I say Sodom, you probably think Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, it's all the immorality and the stuff that was going on, the sexual immorality and sulfur and all that's going to rain down and destroy this place soon. But I don't want you to think about necessarily all the immorality, though that's connected. We've made the connection. I don't have the verses here, but in Ezekiel 16, verse 49, it says clearly, the sin of Sodom was pride, her being ill at ease, loving comfort, and her lack of concern for the poor. Those things in that system is what led to massive immorality, sexual immorality, fornication, homosexuality, all that was going on there, raping and pillaging. It was just a radically human trafficking at a level that's, you know, just would grieve our hearts. And God comes and rains sulfur and judgment down on that system. As on the other side, Jerusalem, where Melchizedek endures forever and will endure forever. In your life, listen, in your life, you have two choices. You have two choices. Abram had it multiple times. Right here he's got it. He chooses Melchizedek and the blessing and says no to the help of Sodom. But he's going to stumble a little bit later. It's the same principle when we get to Ishmael and Isaac. Abram could decide to work his own work and produce a baby with that woman from Egypt and try to fulfill the promise of God. And that produced, by his own effort, he produced an Ishmael, which is still kicking against the nations today in the Middle East. Or he could wait, and he did eventually, was broken and waited for God to produce when he was near good as dead, and him and his wife produced Isaac. Abram had these two choices before him, and so do you. You have this choice before you. It starts really with the gospel, you know? Are you going to choose the way of the gospel and faith in God's way, or are you going to choose your way? Jesus stood, and this is the ridiculousness of people trying to make Jesus popular in other religions as though he's some good prophet. He's more than that, amen? He's more than a good prophet, and he's the Son of God who's exclusionary in his way. John 14, 6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way, help me, I'm the truth, and I'm the, and no one, what, comes to the Father except through me. No one gets to the Father and has peace with God, because we're all food for worms. You're going to face, there's death and then the judgment. And I don't care how young you are or how old you are, you got to deal with that reality. I dealt with it at 10 years old. You're going to face that, and then the longest part of your existence is after that. And you've got to choose, am I going to choose the way of Jesus, Melchizedek, the blood and the body of Jesus, by faith, trusting in Christ for forgiveness of sins and his righteousness? Or am I going to choose the way of the flesh and the world? I'm going to trust in money. I'm going to trust in getting mine. I'm going to trust in getting as famous as I can because I want people to applaud me my whole life. I'm 47. I've had a few people applaud me here and there. But I'm telling you, applause turns to jeers eventually. Has anybody noticed that? People who like you will, in 3 years, not totally like you sometimes. I'm telling you, everything's fading on planet Earth. You're up, you're down. You're up, you're down. And eventually, everybody is going down. That sounds like terrible news, but it's the reality. You're all going to face the destiny of this human race because of what Adam and Eve did. You're going down. And you got to make a choice. Everybody's got to make a choice. It's the same choice that Abram stood there that day and had to choose. Do you choose the wine and the bread, the wife of blessing, or do you choose the way of Sodom and flesh and one day have a shower of burning sulfur? That's really the choice. It stands before you as it relates to your salvation, trusting in Christ and the way of blessing. I tell you, nothing better has ever happened to me in my life than my bowing my knee at 10 years old and receiving Christ and trusting upon him. It released peace, renewal, and the most exciting life on planet Earth. I love it. I love it. But along the way, I've still had those same choices. You got to choose. I didn't just choose it once. I got to choose it over and over. Will I choose the way of sacrificial obedience by faith and trust God for my supply? Or am I going to trust my effort of going and getting it done, fighting with everybody, trying to satisfy my flesh, one more high, one more pleasure? What are you going to do? You got to decide. And I'm telling you, it's clear in the Bible. One system endures forever. One system burns and ends in destruction. And you got to make that decision. We got to make that decision as a ministry. And I've seen the tragedy of that, honestly, in our midst. We made this warning before. And I'm telling you, I want to get millions of dollars for containers of food to send and empower missionaries in Vietnam and in North Korea. But I'm not going to play games with businesses and hide who we are. We're going to trust that God can pour out the finances. Who in here believes that God could give us millions of dollars if he chose? Amen? You think so? Ridiculous, dude. Listen, I'm not going to build any buildings. I don't have time for it. They're all going to burn anyway. We're okay in here. But it would be nice to buy containers of food that fed hungry babies and saved souls. Don't you think that'd be kind of cool? I think the Lord can do it for a people who will go the way of the blessing. I mean, I know, Kim, you're seeing blessing operating in the pregnancy care, aren't you? By the favor of God, when you guys commit yourself to prayer, your hearts are clean, the favor of God comes and supplies. Now, they could go and reshift themselves and reposition themselves and try to trick people into giving money to them, but I love it. I was at a meeting this week with Kim, and she said, we're unashamedly for the gospel. We're unashamedly for Jesus. When you do that, you turn some people off. You do. But that sacrifice is worth it. Let me make this point to you. Abram, in this situation, gives away 10th of all that he has, okay? He takes it and gives it to Melchizedek. Sodom, on the other hand, wants to give him more on top of what he already has. Here, take all this. And he wants to prosper him. This ridiculous sacrificial position, though, put him in a position to receive the blessing of God. You know, I write out money and checks every month that does not relate to my house, my car, or to any way my benefit. Sacrificially giving. It makes no logical sense. But when I've done that and done that on a regular basis by faith, I put myself in obedience in a place where I can receive the blessing of God. And God has provided for my family of 9 children and me and Amy. It's been amazing because of his favor and his blessing. Now, I could go over here, try to be a millionaire on my own and do that, you know what I mean, make my own way. But I'm telling you, that will end in destruction. This way here's the deal. The blessing and favor of God operates in the culture of a sacrificial step of obedience, which often will make no sense to you when you do the math, and it may humiliate you in the immediate moment. When you obey the Lord and decide to go for him, that rich young ruler stood before Jesus and he says, what do I got to do to be perfect? You remember that? And Jesus says, well, you got to obey the command. So honor your mom and dad and don't do adultery and don't do, you know, he mentions them. And the guy goes, I've done all those. But what is it I still lack? He knew he lacked. And remember what Jesus said. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Now, I don't think he said that. I know he didn't say it to everybody. But he says it to that young man because that young man's heart is addicted to the safety of money. He knew that young man was connected to the way of Sodom and he wanted him free. So the man, young man, you remember what he does? He walks away sad because he was rich and he had so much money. When he walked away, he rejected the way of the blessing and went the way of Sodom. I'm telling you, I bet you that young man lived a miserable, miserable life. All the money in the world and miserable. The suicide rate among the rich is just as high as it is among the poor. They're miserable. I got this much money, I want more money. I got this many cars, I want more cars. I tell you, your heart will never be satisfied if you're feeding on the junk food of money and fame and flesh and the next physical exploit you have within your life. We have to choose. Are we going to choose the way of Jesus and for blessing, or choose the way of the flesh? This is so practical in your life. And as I end here, I'm asking corporately New Life, to think through this, because I know that the Lord has given us some global assignment. We've talked about, we want to see 1,000 people saved in El Dorado here, 10,000 in Wichita. Listen, we got to decide. Are we going to use our own wits to go get them? Or are we going to trust the Lord for the power of the Spirit to win these people to Jesus? We got to decide. Are we going to make shiny buildings and run bigger ads and do all this stuff so we can attract people? Or are we going to go the way of the power of the Holy Spirit? And I want us to choose today what it is we're going to do. And I'd like for you to freshly choose today what you're supposed to do, because all of you stand before two kings. On one is Melchizedek, one is Sodom. One is Jesus in his way, one is the flesh, and it's the enemy. And I'm asking you today to make a fresh commitment and a fresh decision in your life. Now, you need to know this, and we've said it before. When I say you choose Jesus, you choose the way of the blessing. That blessing may empower you and lead you to be martyred and killed for Christ. Don't interpret blessing in an American dream kind of way. I don't know where the blessing leads you. It may lead you to running a company, and it may lead you to running to Africa and being beheaded. I don't know. Either way, it's the blessing if it's the will of God. The other way, okay, is going to actually save your life for a little while, but it'll end in destruction when you disobey. Listen, I know today that the Holy Spirit has spoken to many of you today. Those two people standing in front of you, that decision really is manifest in a word. Some of you, he's asking you to confess certain sin. He's asking you to repent of certain activities. He's standing before you and asking you, and going to give you grace to do it, to turn away from this or that, or to go apologize to that person who unjustly treated you that way, whatever it be. Sell that car, sell that house, whatever it be. Whatever's in your heart, I know that you're hearing something by the Holy Spirit, and all of us are struggling in that moment. And I know what that feels like, I really do. I don't want to be glib about it. It's a painful tear of when you've got something that becomes dear to your heart, and then the Lord comes and says, hand it to me. And you're white-knuckled holding it, tremoring. It's a wild story with Abraham later. This same thing happens. He has the baby. He's got Isaac, you remember? And then when Isaac's about 12 or 13, what's he say to do with Isaac, everybody? I want you to take him up on the mountain and kill him. What? I've waited 25 years for this. No, actually, add 12, I'm 37 years into getting this little boy. He's the promise. Take him and put him on the altar and do the deal. And if you read that and you don't understand the Lord, you're like, what kind of God is that? I'll tell you what kind of God it is. It's a kind of God that knows it's best for your heart if he's in first place. He didn't want Abram to love Isaac more than him. And so he says, bring him to me. And when he does bring him to him by faith and lays it down, God gives him back to him and more. You never get cheated in this deal. God's he's so much better. He's more generous than you can ever imagine. He'll pour out so much blessing on you. It'll be an amazing thing. But we got to surrender in our hearts. We've got to listen. Listen, today, what's he saying to you? What's he saying to you? Some of you, he's calling you to salvation. He's calling you to do that. Some of you, he's calling you to stop the immorality that you're in. It's going to be tough. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? You can't figure out how. But he's just calling you to do it. And you're like, I can't stop. I've got this in my body. And he's just saying, take the step of faith. Sacrifice it and trust me to do in you what you cannot do in yourself. And he will do that and he'll be faithful. Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking. In the room right now, in just the next couple moments, I'm praying for your palpable presence, your piercing, convicting presence to press in on everybody in the room. Thank you that we don't have rules about how to end this service, that we get to be real and authentic right now, and to respond to the living presence of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I pray you would convict hearts. Pray you would burden souls. I pray that you would break chains. I pray most of all, would you give us ears to hear and eyes to see? And make us a people of no excuses. Give us wisdom in the midst of a world that's gluttoning itself to death. committing eternal suicide. Give us wisdom to rise above that. And as the heater is popping up here, don't worry about that. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed if you could. Could you just in your heart listen to the Holy Spirit? What's he calling you to do? You might be surprised. Just listen in your inner man. Thank you that you're a living God, Holy Spirit. And thank you that you have your glory and our best in mind, and that you want to set people free to have abundant life, maximum life, not half life, not dark life, light and life in Christ. So come and empower us to do what we have not been able to do ourselves. In Jesus' name. We're done a bit early. Give me just a couple minutes and I'm going to give you bonus minutes this week. I'm not going to ask you what it is, but did anyone today or this moment hear the Holy Spirit in your heart, feel a check, feel some clarity about some things that he's calling you to or away from? If you did, could you do your hand up and down really quick? Yeah, yeah. Great. That's quite a few folks. I just want you to know I'm praying for you and all the church services in the world and all the music in the world and all the preaching in the world cannot take the place of simple faith-filled obedience. It can't. You know, I know people that do it. They read every book they can read. They're listening to every preacher to kind of supply and take care of the guilt and shame that they feel that would be removed in a moment of faith-filled obedience. And so I'm asking you to consider today fully obeying Jesus, trusting him for what he's wooing your heart to do. Because we'll show up again next week, and if you're here by God's grace and you've not taken care of the thing that's in your heart, you're just going to go through the motions again. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God because there's a king and he gets his way. And you got to know his way is the best way. Everybody in here that believes that Jesus' way is the best way, say amen. Amen. It's the best way. Hardly ever has it made sense to me. But it's always turned out to be the best way. It's the best way. He knows what your heart needs. He knows what it needs to be free from. So let's all stand, if we would, right now. And I'm going to kind of end us up and let you go. If you need to go, the Spirit, you know, lean you. But if you need prayer, we'll be here this morning. But I'm asking you, please, to choose the way. Choose the way of the blessing. Choose the way of the favor of God. Reject the way of your own wits. It says, trust, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And this stuff gets real practical. You don't need inspired again with another sermon. You need to obey because he loves you and he's given direction to you. So, Father, I pray for your people one more time. Would you empower us to obey? If you're wooing us to be saved and to trust in Christ for transformation, I pray we would not delay. If you're calling us to get rid of this or that or to gain this or that, whatever, we pray that our hearts would obey. Make this a spiritual family that matures in obedience. We don't want to gloss over or just put icing on mud piles and call it a cake. Lord, we pray that you would touch us on the inside. Give us the grace to follow your wise leading. Awaken our hearts and send us in your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.